The silliest things that exercise professionals, personal trainers, exercise class instructors do. And I'd like to take exercise professional out of that list, because obviously if you were a professional, you wouldn't do silly things. But we're all humans and we make mistakes. If you had to produce a list of things that you have seen personally of silly things that exercise people do, would it be easy to produce that list? I wish it was hard, but unfortunately too many people have shared with me that it would be very easy. And a lot of people have shared that they'd be happy to do it. So how about you? More interesting or uncomfortable or awkward is my mistakes. If you asked yourself that question, if I had to produce a list of the silliest things that I've done as an exercise professional, as a gym manager, as a gym owner, as a personal training manager, as a person who teaches exercise classes, how long would my list be? And very embarrassingly, I have to share with you that my list would take up probably 1,000 pages. I have made so many stupid mistakes. And of course, the consequence for making stupid mistakes as an exercise professional is it's often a reason why people stop exercising, cancel their gym membership, stop training with you. And sadly, a lot of people don't go to another gym or another trainer. They just stop altogether. It gives them the excuse to stop looking after themselves. And I think that's really sad. And I feel very responsible for that. Interestingly, probably 15 years ago now, we were asked to produce a list of reasons why people dump their personal trainer. So we put 30 people into a room who had cancelled their personal training, told the trainer that the reason they cancelled was because of time or money, and then we asked them the real reason. And there was a lovely long list of reasons. And sadly for me, a lot of the things on that list were things that I have certainly done in the past. And my list included other stupid things as well. So if, like me, you don't want to make stupid mistakes as an exercise professional, would it be easier to learn from other people's mistakes rather than make the same mistakes yourself and then lose clients and lose members and wonder why people left? They gave you the reason. It was time or money, but that may not have been the reason. So if I had to just ask the question from my heart to yours, what stops people from wanting to be with us as a person? And it's pretty clear from the behavioral scientists, from the head doctors, that we don't want to deal with people who are disrespectful to us. We don't want to deal with people who treat us like we're children or not very intelligent, not very smart, that we don't have any understanding or insight or wisdom or common sense about life. We don't want to be treated like we're not very smart. And interestingly, even if we're not very smart, we still don't want to be treated that way. And I share that personally because I certainly don't have a very high IQ. I've got a pretty high street smart radar and a pretty high EQ, emotional intelligence. And I only share that with you because I've had it tested. Doesn't that sound important? I will put up with people treating me badly because I like to learn from it. But it's, how do you feel when somebody treats you like you don't know anything? If somebody's disrespectful to you, if somebody just tells you what to do and they don't know anything about you. And that's, to me, the biggest mistakes I've ever made, or the biggest mistake I've ever made, is I didn't find out enough about an individual person to be able to give them information. So then the information that I gave them offended them or hurt them or annoyed them or frustrated them. And of course, why would somebody want to be with me, exercise with me, come to my classes, be a member of my gym if I'm that kind of a person? The next one that's fairly obvious and again pointed out by the behavioral scientists is indifference. So people hate it when we treat them badly, but they also hate it when we ignore them. And interestingly, the opposite to love is not hate, because they're both very powerful emotions. And if you're in a exciting relationship, for example, some people will tell you that they love a person and hate a person all in the same day, because they're very powerful emotions. The opposite to love suggested by the experts is indifference. So we have no emotion. We do not care at all about that person. And that is one of the biggest reasons why people, according to the big surveys done on health clubs and exercise classes, is why people stop going to the gym or stop going to a class, is the indifference of the instructor, the indifference of the person at the front desk, the indifference of the gym manager. So it's not that they were rude to me, it was just that they ignored me. They didn't care about me at all. And if I put those two together, if you have ever been treated disrespectfully, or somebody's treated you like you're stupid, or somebody's ignored you, why would you do business with them? So as an exercise professional, you may already be one. You may have a long list of reasons that you could give for thinking that personal trainers or fitness instructors are stupid, because you've experienced us as an industry, as a profession. If you're coming into the exercise profession and you want to avoid making mistakes, the same mistakes that I've made and thousands, if not millions, of other instructors have made, then would it be a really good idea to ask that question? Why am I doing this, and how do I want to make people feel? Do I want to add value to their life? And then if you're really serious about that as an answer, yes, I do, is it possible then that we're more likely to treat people respectfully? Are we more likely to treat them as they're important people, to love them? Because I'll use that as the opposite to indifference. And I will share with you, however, that there have been many, I've had to deal with many situations with staff, and you know I hate that word, but people who have been on my team and they've loved their clients too much. So they've tried to sleep with them, or they did sleep with them, or they slept with many of the clients or members at the health club, and then they dumped the person, or they were cheating on the person that they were sleeping with. And of course, that becomes a very uncomfortable situation. So when I say love your clients, I'm not talking about let's go have a relationship with them. There was a very important recommendation given to me a very long time ago, and I've shared it with every other exercise professional since. If you want to sleep with a client, then best you be prepared to marry them and they become your soulmate and your partner for the rest of your life, because obviously that can get you into a lot of trouble. So what do we need to do? How do we show our clients that we are not indifferent to them, that we love them, that we really care about them, and we really care about them getting results? And it seems to be, again, from the experts, that there's only one answer to that, and it's to ask questions. Because all the things that annoy people, is it possible that if we ask the right questions, we'll get the answers to them? We could ask your client that great question: what are some of the things, or all of the things, that have annoyed you in the past about exercise, about food, about exercise instructors, personal trainers, gym memberships? Tell me everything that's annoyed you so that I don't do them. I'd like to know what offends you, what hurts you, what's frustrated you, what's made you mad, reasons why you've quit a gym before or quit a trainer before, so that I don't make those same mistakes. And is it possible that if you ask that question, then you'll know what not to do? Because when I start listing out the reasons why people have quit their gym membership or quit their personal trainer, they're usually pretty easy to fix. But because the trainer didn't ask or didn't care, they were indifferent, then they never even found out why their client left. So very simple things like learning not just your client's name — of course you would, but you'd be very surprised how many people, as a gym manager, obviously I had to deal with customer complaints. I used to call them cheers and challenges, and unfortunately there were always more challenges than there are cheers. That seems to be human nature. And that was one of the complaints that people would make often, is that I've been going to his class for 5 years and he forgot my name, or I've been training with him for 3 weeks and he called me somebody else's name. So that just seems like common sense. You need to know the names of the people in your facility. I've had a lot of trainers, exercise people, say to me, I can't know everybody's name. But I'll give you a really interesting example. I had a personal training manager at a health club in New Zealand, and he shared with me that he just learned everybody's names because he felt that it was respectful. And when I asked how many members are there at your club, he said 12,000. The beautiful response to that, though, was that they don't all come at once. So if I know, and I do consciously book people in, not just for personal training sessions, but if people are in the gym, I ask them, when are you coming back? And I book them back in. And of course, then I have their name so that on any day, on any particular hour, I know the names of the people that are in the facility at the time. And I just thought that was such a professional thing to do. So yes, learn people's names, of course, but what about their partner? What about their pets? What about their children? What about the important people in their life? What about the people that they admire and respect? If you know all of those things about people, is it possible that you'll have better conversations, for example? If you know about a person's life, now they might not want to tell you, of course, but should we find out? Have you asked the question, tell me about you, tell me what's important to you, tell me what excites you, tell me what you love to do, favorite music, favorite food, favorite places to travel, favorite movies, all of those really interesting questions that tell you so much about people. Do we ask those questions? When it comes to exercise and eating, is it possible that people have really strong opinions? And would it be important to share, not our opinion, but to share that we are genuinely interested in somebody else's opinion? And how would we do that? And it's been suggested by the experts that we ask, how do you like to eat? How do you like to exercise? What are the foods you like and don't like? What are the exercises that you do and don't like? And more importantly, why? What happened? Why don't you like to eat that food? And could that give us cultural reasons, ethical reasons, past experiences, life experiences, and tell us so much more about somebody? So would it be a really good idea, rather than telling people what to do, would it be a really cool idea, a special idea? Would it help to make people feel really important if we asked them questions rather than told them what to do? And interestingly, exercise is something that people have to fit into their lifestyle. We often expect that people will fit lifestyle into exercise, or their lifestyle into an eating plan. And shouldn't it be the other way around? Should we be aiming to customize and tailor an exercise plan and an eating plan to suit somebody's life? And how could we do that if we didn't know all of those things? What do you like and what don't you like? And when do you like to do it? And when don't you like to do it? And where do you like to do it? And where don't you like to do it? And when do you need it to happen? Those beautiful questions that just add so much value to people's lives. And if we don't know those, how could we deliver information? And that's always the question that I ask. Even another interesting example, a lot of people ask me when they come to do their final exercise session at Max, are we just going to be doing the exercise session, or do we need to do the chat? And how, this is just a really important question that I would ask any exercise professional. In fact, I would ask any professional from any industry or profession, how can you give a product or service to somebody if you haven't asked them those really beautiful questions first, which is, what do you really want this to do for you? And why is that important to you? And where do you want it, and when do you want it, and how will you feel if you get it, and how will you feel if you don't get it? Are you on track or off track to getting it? If you were your own high performance coach, what advice would you give yourself about this particular product or service? And specifically, what do you want me to do as your high performance, and I would say, of course, exercise, personal exercise coach? What do you need from me? And I had to learn the hard way, because I didn't used to ask those questions. I just used to tell people what to do, and I would offend them and hurt them, annoy them and frustrate them. And I didn't want to do that anymore, so I started asking questions. How about you? I'll give you some really interesting reasons why people left training with me personally, and I can really understand them because they're important to me too. Music. In a health club situation, it can be very offensive to people to have music playing that they don't like, particularly if it's got swear words in it or it's horrible music. So one of the things I've always done since I learned how important music was to ask my members and my clients and my class participants, what is your favorite song? And I would have those songs playing when people came to the facility. And I would share with people that that's part of what we do here. So your song might not be playing at the moment, but it's coming. So that if there was classical music playing, or if there was country and western music playing, or if there was opera playing, I would share with people, that's John's favorite song, or that's Susie's favorite song, or that's James's favorite song, and yours is coming soon too. Because music can be very offensive. live. So I asked the question, what is your favourite music? And would that be a great question to know about all of your members, all of your clients, so that you've got their music playing, not yours? Of course, if you start sharing your political persuasion, your religious beliefs, what you believe about food and exercise, is it possible that you'll offend people? But beautifully, if you ask the right questions, is it possible that you learn all those things about people and then you won't offend them? So I had people who left my health club because of my religious beliefs or my personal beliefs about, and I'll just give you an example. I had a very diverse group of clients. And for example, I had one client who was Miss Nude Australia. I had another client who was he was a erotic dancer for other gay males. I had very strict religious people in my client base. One of which was a pastor of a very strict religion, and I also had a Catholic priest. Now, those people have all very different beliefs and ideologies and ideas about life, and so do I, and so do you, and we all have the right to. But if I start preaching about how fantastic my gay client is and isn't it awesome that he dances for gay people, is it possible that would offend somebody who has deep religious beliefs? Now, I'm not asking you to share with me whether you think that's right or wrong. I'm just asking you to consider that whoever you've got in your circle of influence, if you're talking, is it possible that you could offend people? If you're asking questions about what they want, what they like, what they believe, what their core values are, is it possible that you would be less likely to offend them? And I just lost too many clients and too many members because I made so many stupid statements and didn't ask questions. A really interesting one is if you tell somebody to be a vegetarian, for example, and they absolutely love meat, it's their favourite food, and I'll go one step further, because I was an exercise professional in Queensland at one stage where I had a beef farmer as a client, and he had a stand-up argument with a vegan vegetarian in the gym. And if I had intervened in that conversation and I had taken either side of that conversation, I would have lost both clients probably. And I share that with you because, again, what are the consequences of somebody stopping their exercise program? What are the consequences of somebody who is 40 years of age and they stop exercising? Is it possible that they will then have more likelihood of coronary heart disease, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, stroke, Alzheimer's, dementia, mental health challenges, erectile dysfunction, limbs being having to be amputated, all the horrible things that happen when people become diseased? And it's a big risk if people are inactive, because inactivity is the biggest killer in the world because it causes so many diseases. And I'm sharing that with you because I'm so embarrassed of how many people are probably now sick, are probably now diseased, may even be dead because I said some stupid thing in my gym and offended them, hurt them, and they stopped coming. So I'm asking you, please don't do the stupid things that I did. Another one that was really interesting was counting, because counting is really important to me. I like uneven numbers and I like to count backwards. There's two things that are really interesting here. One is that a lot of people hate counting. They can count for themselves. They don't need somebody to stand next to them and count. They would really prefer perhaps to have somebody inspire them and motivate them to do one more repetition or work a little bit harder or sprint a little bit more. But the actual art of counting, so there's a lot of things around numbers that really annoy people, and they are the reason why they'll stop training with you. One is that you can't count. A lot of members shared with me that, Rowie, you'd say there was three to go and then you'd make me do five. If it's five, make sure it's bloody five. And when you have a better understanding of personality styles and what excites people versus what annoys them, you'd probably do that better. But why not just ask? How do you like to count? Do you like to count up or down? Do you like to count even numbers or uneven numbers? Do you even want me to count? Do you want to count yourself? And how do you want me to do this? So if I think you can do two more, do you want me to push you to do two more, or do you want to leave it as it is? And why don't we just ask? Because for some people, numbers are really, really important. Some people love to work really hard and some people people don't. Some people love to get sore and some people don't. I always use the example of K-Man's client who liked to throw up in a bucket, and if he didn't throw up, he didn't have a good training session. There are other people that if they've got sore muscles the next day, they're never coming back. And that's the joy of being a top-level exercise professional, that we can control that. If you understand how to do drop sets and negatives and overload that endurance system, it's very easy to make sure that somebody is so sore tomorrow that they can't even move. Not that there's any added benefit to that physiologically, but for some people, psychologically, they just want to get really sore when they train. For other people, that could be the reason why they don't come back. So why don't we just ask, how do you want to feel tomorrow? And some people will tell you, I want to be so sore I can't walk. And other people will say, if I'm so sore that I can't walk, I'm never coming back again. Or they might not say anything. And I always use this expression. A lot of people will smile, nod, and walk away, and they'll never come back. Because we've offended them, we've hurt them, we've annoyed them, we've frustrated them, we've made them feel stupid. And often when we share our opinion, that's the biggest time that we make them feel stupid, because they either disagree with our opinion or they don't understand our opinion. And here's a better question. Should we be even giving our opinion? Would it be a great idea to ask questions and listen to the answers? So is there a lot to being an exercise professional? Possibly not. Could it be this simple? Get people fit, get people strong, and after that, everybody's an individual. Or rephrase, know how to get people fit, know how to get people strong, and after that, everybody is a unique individual that we don't know anything about and we need to find out about. So we need to ask questions. And obviously, if somebody's coming to your health club 3, 4, 5 times a week, or they're coming to train with you a couple of times a week, once a week, you've got a great opportunity to ask all of those questions and get to know them. Last but not least, would it be a really good idea to ask the question, what will annoy you? What will frustrate you? What will make you angry? Because I don't want to do any of those things. As I shared before, what are the past experiences that have done that to you versus what have you loved about going to the gym or having a trainer or going to a class, so that I do all of the things that you love and none of the things that you don't love. And I'm going to ask again from my heart to yours. If we don't take this seriously, if people don't exercise or they stop exercising because we annoy them or offend them or count incorrectly or play stupid music that they don't like, or we give our opinion and offend them, or we say something that they don't agree with and they get angry, the consequence of that, and I hope you're never in the situation that I am, that after so many years of being an exercise professional, I have to say that I'm sure there are people that are sick, diseased, overweight, inactive, and worse, dead, because I said something stupid. So may we not do stupid things. May we not say stupid things. May we learn from other people's mistakes. Could that be a really good idea? Please learn from my mistakes. I've given you a big long list of mistakes that I've made and that other trainers have made and are happy to admit to. And I'm sure that you could add to that list, because I'm sure that you've seen people do some really stupid things in the gym or in a class or at a boot camp. But ultimately, that's pretty special, isn't it? Because it means that mistakes are beautiful because we can learn from them and don't do them again. So if you've offended somebody by making a political statement, you can't change that you did it. But isn't it awesome that we can choose not to do it again? Isn't it awesome that we can learn from our mistakes? So do you want to be a top-level exercise professional, a personal exercise coach who inspires and motivates people to keep exercising for the rest of their life? Would you like to be the person that helps people to be healthy, fit, strong, young, fast, fat burning, sugar burning, calorie burning, happy drug pumping, disease fighting, high performance machines? And if the answer is yes, may we avoid doing the stupid things and saying the stupid things that would stop people from achieving those gorgeous results. Wouldn't that be a great plan? I'd reckon.